Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Good morning. One quick reminder for our young families, the families who, if any of your kids are 8 or younger, a reminder, we have coming up this upcoming Saturday afternoon, late afternoon and evening, the first of a number of young family events that we're trying to pull together. Remember, we had that town hall meeting for our young families, oh gosh, I don't know, that 6 weeks ago or so. But that was in response to this wonderful little baby boom that's going on here. You should have been at the 9 o'clock today. Oh my goodness, wow. They were giving babies away. They were, there are two at the rectory now, or still. But lots of babies, which is a huge blessing. So we the staff, the parish, we want to say to the young families, we want to do everything that we can do to help support you in finding a home here at the parish, helping you to go into that hard work of raising your kids in the faith. So whatever we can do to support that, but this coming Saturday night, there's a night, just food, games outside for the kids, fellowship for the parents, and yeah, the Facebook event is out there. I think it definitely should be in the bulletin as well, so check that out, but that is coming up this Saturday night. Now, I'm going to take a look at the gospel with you today. Let me start with an image before moving into the words of Christ himself here. In so many of the great Gothic cathedrals in Europe, like Notre Dame in Paris, you find inside of them those big, huge, beautiful rose windows set all the way up in that soaring Gothic architecture. And they're known as rose windows because they're circular, but layer after layer, you often find these petals of stained glass that are all radiating out from the center. And so from a distance, as you take the whole thing in, it looks like a rose has opened up with all of these different layers of the petals. At the center of each of those rose windows, always you'll find an image of Christ himself. And sometimes it's just Christ by himself. Other times you'll find him kind of like our icon here with his Blessed Mother. But that rose window, it's a favorite architectural and spiritual point for Bishop Robert Barron. Some of you are probably familiar with him. He's written a lot, has a pretty big online media presence, has done lots of retreats. We've used a bunch of his stuff here over the years. But he often goes back to the rose window as a teaching point for us, just as it was a teaching point for the Catholics centuries ago who would make pilgrimages to those Gothic cathedrals. Because, as always, the artwork in churches, even in our own here, except maybe for that, usually is designed to teach something. I don't know what that is. When I was assigned here as pastor, they did not leave me a manual that describes what that image is. But typically, the artwork is not just beauty alone, but a beauty that teaches. So Father Barron loves to go back to the point that when a pilgrim would walk into a church like Notre Dame, the rose window was teaching and was understood as an image for what the life of that individual Christian could and should be. And as you're gazing at it and you see this beautiful symmetry, everything ordered, everything has its place, but everything flowing out from Christ in the center, that's an image of the heart, the soul, the life that has fixed Christ in the center and then gets to enjoy everything else like those rose petals just flowing out from it with Christ there in the center, then radiates out family and career, work, finances, recreation, I mean, you name it. All those different aspects of life were there. So Father Barron, of the image of the rose window, and the spiritual message that it teaches us, he writes this. He says, "The message of the window is clear. When one's life is centered on Christ, all the energies, aspirations, and powers of the soul fall into a beautiful and satisfying pattern." And that's it. And that's the really simple but very clear message. That window is what our life is supposed to be, with Christ at the center, ordering all of it. But then listen to this. Bishop Barron continues. He says, "But by implication, the opposite is also true. Whenever something other than Christ, money, sex, success, adulation, fills the center, the soul falls into disharmony." The point being that the only thing that can hold everything else in life together in exactly the balance and the beauty and the order that it should be is Christ himself. So I mention all this. I thought about this image that Bishop Barron uses because in the gospel today, the Lord tells us, look, if you're going to follow after me, if you want to be my disciple, there's only one way that you can do that, and that is to let me be the absolute center of your life, the one thing around which everything else is built. Not one thing among many, but the one thing around which the whole rest of your life is built. And we might say, well, okay, Lord, I get that with some things, but of course, like with family, right? You'd make an exception for that. I mean, there are times when that could get greater priority than you. And the Lord tells us today in very stark, powerful words, no. In fact, unless you hate your mother, father, sister, brother, unless you regard your family as even less than me, then you cannot follow me. You can't be my disciple. Now, remember the Lord's words here. He speaks as he does in other places where he's not literally commanding you to hate your family, mom or dad, children, spouses, right? Let's be really clear. I don't need anybody leaving Mass today saying, well, this doesn't make sense, but Jesus told me I need to hate my family, okay? That would clearly be in opposition to the Great Commandment, where the Lord tells us that love of God and love of neighbor are the two parts of the one Great Commandment. But the language that he's using, which is just really typical of the Middle East, we who think in a Western way don't fully appreciate. We tend to want to understand it in an absolutely literal way. So he's not commanding us to hate. But what he is trying to communicate with absolute clarity and with great force and power is, even your family, the people that you love the most, even they must come second to your relationship with me if you really want to be my disciple. Now, in the heart of the preacher, of the pastor, there is very often a temptation for us to want to kind of tone that down because, you know, there's always... I think, at least among many, many ministers, priests, pastors, the fear that, okay, well, gosh, like, what are they going to do with it? And you know, are they going to come back next Sunday? Like, maybe I need to find a way to soften this. But there's simply no way of softening this. I can't do it without betraying the gospel. And I don't want to do it. So I can't soften it. Because the Lord Jesus means these words. He is not looking to be one thing among many in your life. He's not looking for you to hedge your bets, play it safe, give him so much, but make sure you've got an escape hatch. He's so clear today. If you're going to follow me, there's only one way to do it, and that's with everything that you've got. So I can't soften those words, but also I don't want to, because to soften them, what I would end up doing is I would end up causing you to miss out on the utter and absolute joy that comes from when we let Christ be at the center. So some of you are thinking, well, but if I do this, am I going to somehow be less of the mom, less of the husband, less of the wife, less of the dad that I want to be? And the answer is no. The best dads begin as men who are striving to be the best disciples. The best moms are those who begin by striving to be the best disciple. Some of you really want to give your best, your all at work, whatever your career might be. And you might be afraid, well, if I do this, is that going to suffer? And the answer is no. The men and women who show up ready to give their all to their work with a passion, where they're ready to put everything into it, that their very work might glorify God, so they give it the best they've got, they're the ones who begin by first striving to be the best disciple that they can be. And I don't want you to miss out on that, because it's not a matter of if we put him first, that somehow the really good relationships, the really good things in life have got to somehow be less. It's not that at all. Yes, he wants to strip away the sin. That has always got to go. There's not room for that. But for those of you that really want to be the best dad and mom and husband and wife, supervisor, boss, employee, it begins by letting the Lord move into the center. And when he's there, allowing him to make of your life like that beautiful rose window, everything ordered exactly the way that it was designed to be ordered, that your life might radiate the beauty, the harmony, the symmetry of those gorgeous rose windows. He wants that for you. So often when we let something else get into the center, when we think that we can pull it off that way, what we discover is everything else begins to fall apart. There's only one thing that can hold together in your life the aspects of family, career, finances, keeping up your home, raising your kids, friendships, all of that. There's only one person who has the power to hold it all together, and that's the Lord. Anytime something else gets into the middle, things are going to begin to drop. So for what it's worth, I would say to you, in the years since my own conversion, which was in July of 1991, that was the start of it, when things began to radically change for me. So July of 1991, since that time, I have never ever regretted the yes and the subsequent yeses that I've tried to make to the Lord to let him be at the center. And there are times when it's been easier to let go of things that he might be in the center. There have also been plenty of times when I've been holding on to something more tightly, and he's just had to kind of, in love, force his way in and pry things from me. But there has not been a moment of regret in any of that. And if that is of any value for you, if there's any encouragement that you find in that, because you're wanting to let the Lord be in the center, but there's fear, I would just say to you, don't be afraid. Here's the beautiful irony. For the one who lets the Lord move into the center, in the words of the gospel, for the one who loses his life for Christ, or as Paul puts it today, the one who dies with Christ, the irony is then the one who loses his life finds it. Meaning, you let the Lord be at the center and then let him orient everything else in your life around it, like those petals in the rose window, and you get it all. You get all the good stuff. But for the one who hedges his bet, and in the words of the gospel, tries to find his life in an earthly sense, tries to have on his own the career and tries to balance it out with family, but is trying to do it on his own, he loses his life. Can't hold it together. So my prayer for us this Sunday is just very simple. Lord, allow us to hear in its full power the words that your Son speaks to us today. Allow us to not hedge our bets, but this Sunday be given the grace to let you reign over our life from the center of all things, that as we lose our life for you, Lord Jesus, we might gain a life more joyful, more beautiful, more fulfilling than we could have ever imagined.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.